Welcome to The Offer, the no sugar added approach to the talent triangle with an unfiltered view of employers, candidates, and recruiters. I am your host, Michael Glinter.
The Offer.
Before we get started, just a reminder, if you need any type of services, questions, you are looking to do a sponsorship on my show, or you have needs as far as resumes or anything as far as the staffing industry, please email me at michael@michaelglinter.com. Again, that is michael@michaelglinter.com, so we can connect. You can also check me out on social media. And please, as a reminder, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast to get weekly updates, as well as please pass along information to your friends and family. Several months back, I had Lucas on my show, and Lucas brought his story. He brought his real life story about being transgender and the struggles of getting accepted into a workplace, applying for jobs, and really how to feel like he could go and get a job and feel comfortable with who he was as a person. That episode got one of the largest downloads within the series of season one, and I brought him back because I wanted him to talk about the LGBT and transgender community. And once you're in a job, once you're in a role within an environment, how do people, or how should people really act? What's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and really creating acceptance, creating awareness, and creating equity for people that, you know, are really just people. So I'd like to welcome to the show, Lucas. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been a very crazy few days. I wanted to have you back on the show primarily because, you know, a lot of the stuff I did with diversity and inclusion last series was really focused on hiring diversity and inclusion, changing the way we look at diversity candidates in the hiring and staffing process. But what I didn't cover last season as much, and what I've been focusing a lot lately, is once you have people within your environment, you know, how do you cultivate a positive work environment? And what things do people need to know that affect people to have a positive work environment? Meaning, you know, what's good behaviors and bad behaviors? You know, what are things that we need to keep in mind and how they would make certain people feel a certain way? And it's actually kind of been interesting because I just actually taped their podcast with a woman that has Tourette's. And actually the podcast probably aired because I'm probably hearing yours after hers. And, you know, I think it's important that we understand that just because you hire somebody that's either diverse or has a physical disability or identifies differently than what everybody expects them to identify or whatever, that to us, just because we hire that person doesn't mean that the problems, the things that we need to do to make sure that they're inclusive and have equity stake in the company stops. And I think that what I'm finding is that there's a lot of companies out there that have diversity programs where it's all about how many they hire, and they don't put any time or effort into cultivating an environment that makes those people feel like, you know, they're part of the company's journey. You know, obviously you've spoken as a transgender male, obviously you've spoken, you know, specifically to the topic of transgender and LGBT in the workplace and the hiring efforts and the challenges that come with getting hired within positions. But I want to get kind of your larger scope perspective. Once people get hired and get antiquated into the work environment, what are some of the struggles? But then also, what are some of the things that how we think differently that will make those struggles easier? So I guess my first question, you know, we talked about this the last time that we spoke, but I want to kind of bring my listeners up to speed on this particular topic, and that is, you know, when do you feel the need, or do you feel compelled to tell people as a transgender male that you're transgender, or do you feel like that's really irrelevant? And, you know, I can tell my audience from my perspective, I wouldn't know you're transgender if you slapped me in the face and told me. Looking at you and talking with you over the months that you and I have been friends, you're one of the boys. That's the way I look at it. And I look at it from perspective of not just because I don't care. I don't think that anybody's, you know, physical disabilities, you know, identity, sexual orientation, any of this stuff really matters. But more to the sense of I would know because you clearly are, in my opinion, a male, period. But you also know, as I speak to this audience, that there's a spectrum of transgender people out there, some that are obviously transgender and some that are not. But speaking from the standpoint of that, at face value, people interacting with you every day would have no idea that you're transgender. Do you find it easier to let people know just to get it off the table so that people aren't like, you know, doing the whole, you know, kitchen, ear talk or gossip? Or do you feel like it should matter?
Couple different answers to that question, I guess. I feel like it shouldn't matter, but it does matter in a lot of situations, or it becomes something that matters to some extent or another. You know, I often come from the perspective of just being upfront with people because I don't want to face, I want my employer's protection and support. And I feel like I'll have that if they know upfront my situation so that we can, you know, deal with anything that comes up proactively. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to have that conversation like in the middle of something, you know, where they're like, well, I don't know what's going on here. It also depends on what job you're going for as well. Like if I feel like it's beneficial for my employer to know that I am part of the LGBT community, then I would share that. If, you know, for instance, if I still lack to change my legal name and gender marker, or if I know that I'm going to have a surgery, gender-related surgery, in the near future, or while I'm employed at that company, or if, you know, part of my questions are related to the health benefits and if it covers it, that might be something I choose to disclose, you know, also up front, because I can foresee into the future that would be relevant.
But at that point, you're talking about disclosing to either your hiring manager or to like an HR professional. You're not speaking to the point of disclosing to your fellow employees.
Correct. I feel like that's more something that comes with levels of comfortability and times of appropriateness.
You would say that from the standpoint of letting your employer know, there may be a point where it's important to let them know from the standpoint of, because you may have a period where you have to take time off because you're having surgery, or there may be some medical challenges that may come up that you want them to be aware of. But from the standpoint of, if there's obviously no effect on your ability to do your job and perform at the same level, if not exceeding the levels of expectations, that you wouldn't necessarily disclose it because it shouldn't matter at that point.
Not necessarily disclose it, and no, it shouldn't matter, but there's a good chance that me personally, that I will disclose it because I want to make sure that the employer that I'm going to work for is LGBT like friendly and affirming. I don't want to go to work for an organization that I later find out has a major issue with the gay or trans community because something comes up, or they find out about me one way or the other, because it's not hard to find out. I mean, we've got social media, previous, you know, legal documents, you know, floating around. And if it were to be an issue, I would rather know that up front. So yes, I probably would disclose, even though it is pretty much irrelevant, but I can't speak for everybody else in the trans community that would or wouldn't disclose, and for whatever reason.
So you would disclose just because you don't feel like going to work for a company that doesn't have a proactive approach to the trans community would be beneficial to you?
They don't need to be proactive necessarily. Like, I'm not looking for, you know, jumping in on gay pride parades and putting rainbow flags all over the website necessarily type of inclusive, but I would appreciate the response oh, that's cool. Like, we don't care. Makes no difference. You know, like, at least the nonchalant, totally fine, would be comforting to me and, like, let me know everything's fine. As opposed to, oh, okay. You know, like, some of the reactions I have gotten, or some of the reactions I've gotten pretty quickly upon working places, that would have been really good to know up front. Now, of course, some things you don't find out until later. Well, this whole process, we're all still navigating, both trans people and employers, you know, cisgender, heterosexual employers, we're all still figuring this out. There's not really a right or wrong answer to a lot of these questions.
Mm-hmm. Let me spin it a little bit. Would you say that your opinion is based on today, or would you say your opinion is based on things that you've encountered earlier in life?
Well, considering my earlier in life was only a couple years ago, because I've only been transitioning now for less than 6 years, I would say a lot of my gun shyness, or, you know, hypersensitivity, so to speak, does come from personal things I have encountered, and I would like to avoid those situations, you know, going forward. Mm-hmm. Some of it, though, is relevant to current events. I feel like there's obviously going to be more discussion about it now, especially with what happened with the Supreme Court. I feel like more employers are going to be looking to be, you know, visibly inclusive, or just like pay attention to their language, pay attention. They might realize, oh, this is something we actually need to be more aware of. We need to be more educated on. I just spoke to a law firm yesterday and did a cultural competency training. You know, they had a transgender client who had not had their legal name and gender marker changed. And so he's a lawyer, so he's representing her in court. And he had to walk, you know, a very fine line with her, because he had to refer to her as with male pronouns, you know, during court. But he wanted her to know, this is not because I don't respect you or I don't affirm you as a transgender woman. This is because the court has to recognize you as male or use male pronouns, and you lose use your legal name when they're addressing you in the courtroom, which is true. And so, but he was extremely open and open-minded. And then, so when I was talking to him, I mentioned that I do these trainings if him and his staff would be interested in learning more, because they're located in a little more conservative area in Vero Beach. And he jumped on that right away. He was like, absolutely, Lucas, this is something we've been needing to learn about, didn't know how to go about it. So I just did a training with him yesterday. And, you know, they don't have affirming written all over their stuff, but they are affirming. And not everybody in his staff knew a lot. One of his girls didn't even know anyone that was transgender. So I could tell she was a little, you know, cautious about some stuff. And she had actually used male pronouns in referencing the client in an email, and which, you know, should have been female pronouns, because it doesn't matter what the legal name is to me. You know, I'm here to support the trans person. So, but she corrected herself. She was like, you know what? I'm so sorry. You are absolutely right. It is female pronouns that I'm supposed to use. And we moved on. I think that more people are becoming aware of the need to learn and learn how to navigate these situations than they did a couple years ago, even. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of up to the employer on how they go about that and the level of importance they actually see, if they even have any trans, you know, employees or might hire trans employees, and what their level of need is as far as education, awareness, and like support, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we kind of fast forward a little bit, but I'm actually glad we did. I think it's important, because I think people are already asking the question, you know, well, so what do we do? You know, if this is a problem, he just told you. You know, you hire a guy like Lucas, someone who has experience, someone who's lived through the day-to-day of what it's like, and can culturalize you into how do we take it to the next level? You don't do it on your own. If you try to do it on your own, it's going to be a mess. You need to hire somebody that has those experiences, because otherwise you're going to do a half-assed job and really never make it to the finish line. So it's extremely important, extraordinarily important, that you engage someone like Lucas so that you can not only educate yourself, but you can also get the true education that others need to really understand how to overcome some of the, you know, predispositions and some of the feelings that other people have. So thank you for that. So you just went to a law firm, right, to do this whole education thing. Do you find that people today Do you find that people today are more in tune and understand it better than they did 3 or 4 years ago? Or do you feel like the transgender topic is still such a new topic that people are still kind of dumb about it?
I definitely would have to say both, where there's a lot more visibility and presentation now than there was a couple years ago even. Of course, social situations, you know, social awareness is more people out on television. Of course, the Supreme Court thing that just happened. So I think in some regard, we're a little more exposed, right, to the subject. But in a lot of ways, it's still, the transgender thing is still a very new topic to a lot of people as far as really understanding it. Like, they might know, okay, there's trans people that exist. This is a trans person I saw on television. But what do I really understand about what's going on in their mind and their lives, how they want to be addressed, how I might identify that somebody is trans, or what do I need to know about that, especially from an employer-employee relationship because of the liability that comes with that. And of course, you want your employees to be as functioning as possible, right? They want to feel comfortable at work, supported both personally and professionally. So to me, the better a job an employer can do to support their general coworkers or their employees, the better the company is going to be overall, working relationships, rapport, you know, production, everything. Mm-hmm.
When you go and educate people, what do you find is, like, what's your strategy? Like, what do you feel like the biggest need is when you first go in to meet with a client? How do you figure out where to begin? Because, and I get it all depends on the size, right? You know, you go into a law firm that has 7 people, it's a little bit different than if you go into a police station that has 100. But at the end of the day, you have to have some kind of a mindset. Would you tell the companies to do kind of an information gathering survey or like a group conversation about the topic before bringing somebody in from the outside? Or do you feel like that's irresponsible, that it should be the person coming in should be the one doing the assessment while they do the teaching?
No. So often people reach out to me for a training. So they've identified a need or an openness to have this, right? There's a reason why they're reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. So what I do is, of course, welcome them 100%. And then I learn what they do as an organization. So I know the audience that they would be needing this training for. Is it clients you're having in a medical setting? Is it, you know, for a law enforcement office that is encountering trans people out on the streets, you know, or is it somebody that has trans employees and they need to know how to, as an organization, provide support that way in education? I ask them, you know, why are they reaching out? What has been a situation come up, or what provokes the need for the training? And they'll tell me, that's when they tell me, well, you know, we just realized that we need to know more, or we have a client or whatever. And then I say, okay. And then I ask, of course, I learn what the organization does, or I research it, one of the two. And then we set up a time. And I do sometimes, depending on the situation and what they share with me, I will ask if anything has happened, or like, for instance, I'm going to do a CCT for Palm Beach State College soon for the Belgrade and Loxahatchee campuses. Mm-hmm. And I asked the professor told me, she's like, Lucas, you know, I used to do these trainings for FIU and I got a really good response from the students. They were open. They seemed to understand what I was saying and they were receptive to it. She goes, when I present this information to these other two locations, I get a very different reaction. And I said, can you explain that reaction to me? And she said, well, they kind of look at each other, you know, across the room, or they sink down in their chair, or they look away, or they have this kind of look on their face like they're not comfortable, they don't understand. And she goes, I don't know if that's just in my mind, or if they really are responding that way because they're not as open or they're not as aware. And I said, well, you're absolutely correct. I said, it's not your imagination. I said, there are reasons, and I got into the reasons why I have seen it in those two areas, and I know culturally more about those two areas as to why they would be more closed off to the LGBT community.
Go back. The two areas would be?
A heavy person of color demographic. So culturally, that is not something that's widely accepted. among the, say, the Black population. And that's common knowledge. That's common understanding. The other one is a very conservative country demographic where it's also not widely accepted.
Right. And oftentimes, hold on, oftentimes we talked about, I've talked about this a lot of times before, it's a culture thing, right? It's whatever's accepted in that community. And it's a struggle for me because, and I've got to be tender about how I say this because I don't like to say they are. I have a huge understanding and a great support system for the Black Lives Matter movement. I think that any movement that tries to break the stigma of the stereotypes that are out there, that you have to support that because we all want a society and an environment that promotes equality and promotes a non-discriminatory nature of behaviors so that everybody can feel comfortable. However, I find it always very interesting when a community that's own beliefs are counter to the cause that they're trying to promote. For instance, you know, when you run into people that have maybe a certain religious faith that are Black, that will say, we want to be treated equally, but we don't believe in gay people. You know, you can't do that. You can't say that you want equality, but only equality for certain beings. You have to be willing to accept the fact that equality is equal across the board. When we say diversity, we don't mean just African American. We mean all diversity. And so I think that, and I'm not saying all, I know I'm going to get emails. I am not in any way, shape, or form saying all, that's how Black people think. Please don't send me emails screaming at me. But I'm using it as an example because it happens all the time. I mean, do you have any times I bump into people that have some, or in some way, shape, or form have a disability or are diverse, but then they say, well, I don't know, I don't approve of the gay thing. Well, I don't approve of you being in a wheelchair. I mean, it's just the stupidest thing ever because if anybody you would think would actually give a crap, it's people that have, you know, something that allows them to be discriminated on as well. But that's just not true. Anyways, we got off on a tangent. I don't even know where that came from. I just wanted to bring that up because I think that it's important as we talk about this topic that if you're going to fight a cause related to equality, you have to be willing to be mindful of that equality spanning all different people, not just the ones that you fall into. You know, when you go into an organization, how do you approach it? And I like your approach. Usually companies that are reaching out to you, from what I'm getting from you, and you can clarify me wrong, are coming to you not because they're just curious. Most of the companies are coming to you because something within their organization spawned the need to educate.
Right. And there's a reason for it. And if I can understand the reason, and it might just be basic, oh no, this is just something we've been meaning to do, you know, and we know we need to understand it more just like we do X, Y, and Z. Cool. But if there is a reason specifically, and I can tailor my presentation or the side conversations that I have to address those needs and to better equip them to deal with the situation, then that's what I'm going to do. I feel like that's obviously the more productive approach to anything is understanding, you know, why, you know. So I would go and do the training, and sometimes they do like a survey beforehand to get a pulse of the topic of how people are, where they're at with their knowledge. But if they don't, that's fine. I do like a quick, when I'm there, I always ask, you know, I introduce myself, I show up very authentic, and as you've said, I don't look trans. So it often grabs people's attention when they find out I am, and they're definitely paying attention at that point. But, you know, I often find a way that I can relate to people. I find common ground, get on their level, get them feeling comfortable. Cause sometimes I walk in and people's guards are up cause they know the subject is LGBTQ and they're like, oh gosh, this is not going to be fun. I don't like this. It's not often, but sometimes I do. And I, you know, I'm very empathic and I'm very intuitive. So I can pick up when people's guards are up or if they're looking at me some kind of way, you know, And I'll get in their heads and I'll get on their level. And then pretty much 100% of the time by the end of that training, everybody's laughing. They're comfortable. They're more relaxed. They've asked questions. They come up and hug me or say, hey, we want you back. You know, I had one lady who was, she was like, you know what, Lucas, she came up to me at the end. And she was one of the ones that was real quiet, real kind of stiff sitting. And by the end, she was a lot more relaxed. And she had even asked a couple questions. She came up to me. She goes, Lucas, I just want to let you know that when I came into this training as a Christian woman, I was very opposed and I was very closed-minded. And I particularly didn't really want to be here because I didn't want to understand. She goes, but you have helped me understand and you have given me a new way to think about it. And I thank you for that. And she gave me a hug. And I was like, wow. You know, so, and I do share my faith because if I, especially, well, A, if it comes up, and B, if I feel like it's relevant, because that's another hot topic is Christianity or religion. It doesn't have to be Christianity. A lot of religions oppose or have issues, public standing issues with the LGBT community, and they're very vocal about it. And that has created a huge issue among our population. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. So especially if I'm going to talk to an organization that is based on faith or say a church or whatever, a group, a company that does happen to have quite a few religious people in there that do feel some kind of way about it. And the employer knows that. And they're like, look, I need you to come in, get on their level, talk to them. I do bring up my faith. So that would be a situation where maybe in other times I don't bring up, you know, the God thing or the church thing or how I grew up or what I've encountered. But this time I will, because these people need to hear it. And whether or not their minds are changed, whether or not, you know, they go off with a different perspective, I can't control that. All I can control is I was vulnerable enough and I took the effort to go and talk and do my best to find what will be the best approach to get through to my audience. And that's what I go with in the 2 hours that I have. You know, I present the facts, I present the stats, and I give people the education and the knowledge and the relatability to what I'm saying and who I am as a person and how you might relate to me or how you might relate to what I'm saying or how you can have a perspective of compassion towards somebody that maybe you don't relate to. But we're all human and we all need love and support and we don't have to understand each other. We just need to respect one another, right? Because there are things in each one of our lives that other people aren't going to understand or agree with. No matter what it is, because we're all so diverse. Right. And the more that we can just be open and loving and get off our high horse of, oh, this is how you're different and I don't agree. Who cares if you agree or not? I don't agree with half the things you do in your life, you know? But can I still love and support you and respect you as a human being? Absolutely.
You're way too nice. When I teach a class, if I tell somebody is not connecting well or doesn't like it or doesn't agree, I'm the first person to say, hey, let me talk to you. Yeah, you were there. And call them out right away on it. Because, you know, I think the biggest challenge when you're teaching is, and the biggest reason why you're doing it, is to get into the heads of the people that really don't get it. And so, yeah, you're a little too nice for me because I don't sugarcoat. I'm like ripped down the wall.
I wouldn't say I sugarcoat. I definitely can pin people to the wall if I need to. But yeah. The point is that they stay open to learn. If I shut them down and they shut me out, my job is done. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You're right. Listen, I'm not saying my way is better than your way. I'm just saying you're just way too nice. I would be a little bit more aggressive about it, but that's just my personality. Let's talk about the environment itself, right? You go into a workplace, you feel like you've identified that the workplace is LGBT friendly. You feel you've identified that the culture there is of acceptance, but we all know, even in an environment where the company's beliefs and initiatives are, you know, we promote equality amongst all our people, you're going to find issues. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect world anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you approach it when you feel like, I know we've talked this in the last show, but I want to talk about it again. If you're in an environment where you know people either, you know, are talking about it, you know, maybe people are passively treating you differently, do you brush it off as ignorance, or do you go to HR, or do you confront the person? Like, of course, everything is situational, right? I know you can't say broadly this is what you do, because that there's no such thing. But for all intents and purposes, let's say that that person doesn't necessarily affect your ability to do your job professionally. But listen, we all are affected by the way people treat us, whether or not it's a direct right. effect on our day-to-day or not. So my question goes to, do you tell people to keep it in? Do you support people going to HR? Or do you feel like the best path of success is to just take the person aside and call them out on it, even though you may not even know for sure? I mean, so the problem, I find the problem with calling out on it is, you know, unless you know for 1,000% sure this is happening or they have these feelings, you've got to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, you don't want to assume, right? But how do you approach how do you approach situations like that?
So I'm a little more direct, and I guess you could say confrontational. I don't typically mind confrontation, because I feel like it is kind of necessary sometimes. You know, I don't like dancing around a problem, and I definitely can't brush it under the rug. So if I were to notice that somebody was treating me differently or just awkward, and I, like I said, I'm very intuitive, so I do pick up on that. I will probably sit back and analyze it for a little bit and try to maybe figure out why. Maybe it's something I did. Maybe it's something I said, you know, and, you know, those things can, then I can pay attention to that, or I can rectify that. If it's just because of who I am and that's the conclusion I come to, or something maybe that they're assuming about me, then yeah, I would go up to them. I would find a good time or a good approach. And I would ask, you know, something to the extent maybe of, hey, I've noticed that you kind of are very standoffish with me, or your body language has changed, or, you know, we just don't communicate the way we used to. Is there something that I've done? Is there something that has happened that we can talk about so that, you know, things can go back to normal, or is it so this can be a better working environment for all of us, so that we're more comfortable around each other? We can go to each other with stuff, you know, and they may or may not say it is this or yeah. But then, so after that, I would notice if things change or not. If things went back to normal and got better, whether or not they shared anything, maybe they thought, oh, you know, I have been acting differently. I need to get that in check so that he doesn't come up to me again and ask, because I don't want to tell him. Let me deal with this myself so I can be good in the situation. You know, it might resolve itself at that point. If I notice it's not changing, it's not better, then I would go up to him again and say, look, I already came up to you once. I asked you, I gave you the opportunity to share it with me. You didn't have anything to say, or you said it was this, but I've addressed that and it's still an issue. What's going on? I want to be able to be very frank with each other. I was like, look, you're not going to offend me. You're not going to hurt me. But unless we can communicate openly and honestly, we're not going to make progress here. And clearly it's important enough for me to come to you and talk about it. So what is it? And then I might just say, is it because I'm trans? Is it because you think I'm trans? Is it because I'm gay? What's the deal here? Is it because I'm white? Is it because I'm a person of faith? I mean, I'm listing up all the ways I could be different, you know? Is it because I laugh too much? Is it because I like soccer? Like, what's the deal here? And hopefully they'll have enough kahunas to tell me, yeah, Lucas, I have an issue with stuff, or I don't understand. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Let's deal with that, you know? So it does depend on two people to be able to be open and honest with each other. But often it takes one person stepping up to the plate and having a desire to fix a situation or fix a relationship.
Right. What advice do you give companies? You know, not everybody's going to want to hire somebody to bring them in. Not everybody's going to feel like that they need that. We all know that companies need to continue to educate themselves. If a company wants to try to do things on their own, just as an LGBT in general, to make feel more people more welcome to their organization, like you said, that are LGBT friendly, what do you think are the biggest things that they need to be willing to do to make that happen?
Well, I think anybody, regardless of their openness, say, on LGBT stuff, I think everybody should have the approach, both personally and professionally, and whatever role they have, to be self-aware and self-reflective and think, where do I need to grow in professionally, personally, you know, what challenges do I have understanding people around me or relating to people around me? What biases do I have? And sometimes we don't know we have those until we're presented with information or with a situation. And unless we want to stay in the same place we were 10 years ago, we do need to take that initiative and leadership within our own lives and look where we can advance as a human being. And, you know, that's not something you can teach or make somebody have, but I can give that advice just from one person to another and say, often check in with yourself, check in with your staff, check in with the vibe of your company and see where do y'all need to grow. Maybe where are your barriers and what can be done differently or better? And you might think, well, okay, we do need to be a little more open to the LGBT community. Maybe we can change the language sometimes in our advertising on our website to be more inclusive. Maybe we can attend a pride parade to show our support, you know, like Wells Fargo does. There's no doubt in my mind Wells Fargo is inclusive, you know, because they make an effort to let people know. I've known trans people that have worked for them. And I've seen them in the pride parades. Capital One comes and does a lot of our sponsoring and they're just super open and friendly. So, you know, there's stuff like that. Like maybe that's all they need. Maybe they just like, you know what, we just need to do a little more. And then there's some that, no, we don't understand this topic. I don't know what pronouns to use. I don't freaking understand what non-binary means. And honestly, trans people freak me out. You know, that's when I think they need a little more support. And yes, having somebody come in that is trans that can say, look, I'm normal just like you. And let me break it down for you. Ask me all the questions that you have so that you're not scared of them or so you're not scared of the subject. And so you walk away with a much better understanding and knowledge so you can do your job better and serve the community better. Maybe even one day avoid a lawsuit. Who knows? But like, that's kind of what I would say. Everybody's going to need different things. Not everybody needs to have somebody come in and do a 2-hour presentation. Sometimes I just need to have a conversation with somebody and then they can, you know, relay the information or send it out however they need. Yeah, I think the closer you can get to the source, to the resource for understanding and growing, I think the better off you'll be as opposed to assuming you're at a great place or assuming you know everything. Because I talk to people all the time that they are part of the community or they've been around it for so long and they've got friends and even trans people in their family completely unaware and completely off base with a lot of things. And they thought they knew a lot because they were gay themselves or because they have a trans sibling. And I'm like, no, we get through that. And they were completely clueless on some things or wrong. And you know what? Things are also changing. So there aren't necessarily the same terms, or there's more terms or more approaches than a couple years ago. So I think being culturally relevant and current is also important. You can't go off a training you had 10 years ago on LGBT, because I guarantee you there's stuff that's different in there.
Absolutely. Oh, Lucas, you're so good at this. And listen, guys, if you need education, he's the guy. He's been doing it now for a while. He's talked to a lot of organizations. He's educated me. Lucas really opens your eyes. Before I met him, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest. I didn't get it. But I didn't take the time to figure it out either. I certainly wouldn't say that I was discriminatory. I just didn't get it. And so I didn't take the time. But just as much as I didn't get it, I also, you know, had biases because of it. And now that's all gone. Like, because of Lucas, I look at all people differently. It's not just Lucas. Throughout this whole series, I've learned a lot. But, you know, he's helped me realize that you really have to have a different mindset. And, you know, and it really has helped me kind of see through the trees, beyond the trees, I should say, and realize what exactly we're missing. And so I would implore you, if you're anywhere in your process of trying to figure this out, I would strongly recommend you call Lucas. I would strongly recommend you engage with him, because he's really going to give you the opportunity to really better understand and educate your employees and really get them on the page that they need to be, not just for LGBT, but in general. He'll open up the awareness of diversity as a whole. And so I'm going to put his contact information in my podcast notes. So if you do want to reach out to me, you can get a hold of him. He's an amazing person. Lucas, what can I say? I mean, thank you for coming back on. I guess you weren't scared from the first time, so you decided to give it another try. I will remind you, from season one, your podcast was one of the most listened to podcasts in the season. So clearly people figured out that whatever you were saying makes a hell of a lot of sense. But I certainly appreciate you coming on, and I certainly wish you the very best in your ventures.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you too.
Please remember to subscribe to my podcast. Also, please feel free to share, like, send, tag your friends. Let them have the opportunity to listen and understand and get a better viewpoint from the people that we talk to. Also, please don't forget, if you have any questions, you can email me at any time. And I hope you guys had a great day.